Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, we'll recap the Cardinals' win over the Saints in a surprisingly high-scoring Thursday night football game. Christian McCaffrey was traded last night to the 49ers. We'll get into what that means for the futures market, and we'll preview this weekend's game between the 49ers and the Chiefs. And of course, you know it, you've got some Mox Locks coming your way. But first, we have a very special guest today. Let's welcome in Max Meyer, editorial content writer for Caesars Sportsbook, formerly with Sports Illustrated and around the NFL, and the guy whose tweets and messages I am stalking all the time to try to find out where the money is, what the popular bets are. Thank you for always responding to me. Max, how's it going?
Yeah, can we stop the show now? That's one of the best compliments I've ever gotten, not going to lie, but very excited to discuss all things football today. I mean, it's another big weekend for sure.
Another big weekend. And I'm so interested to hear, you know, the inner workings of what's going on with Caesars and how they're looking at these games, where the money is, where the public is betting, all of those good things. But first, let's start with some Mox thoughts. TNF, Saints versus Cardinals. Cardinals beat the Saints 42-34. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I got my butt kicked last night in this game. And I blame Andy Dalton. I don't know if you watched any of my Instagram stories, but I am very angry at Andy Dalton. First of all, this is one of those things where the trend is your friend until it's not. The trend has been the unders. And Max, you can back me up on this. Unders have been hitting all season long, specifically in primetime, and even more specifically on Thursday night. Unders were 5-1. This game, all of a sudden, 42-34. Why? Because of Andy Dalton. I also had the Saints in the first half. That was close to, very, very close to hitting. And then he gave up two pick sixes back to back in the last 2 minutes. It was just like the under was dead. The Saints' first half was dead. How did the books make out on this? Because I have to believe that a lot of the money was on the under in this game.
Yeah. So, I would actually say that it was pretty two-way action for the over and the under, but two of the more one-sided bets, like you were saying with the trends, the popular ones were fading the Cardinals first half and then also Cardinals first half unders. Both of those were 6-0 heading into this game, and those both did not work out. So those were two wins for Caesars. But we actually, there was more money on the Cardinals, both to cover the spread and on the money line. Nothing like too strong, but I would say, you know, overall, not a huge decision either way for Caesars.
Well, I do know that, I was on DeAndre Hopkins for an anytime touchdown. I had messaged you, I think a few days before, and you were like, it's early, it's a small sample size, but a lot of bets were coming in on, him to have DeAndre Hopkins to have the first touchdown. Of course, he didn't have a touchdown last night. He did hit over on a lot of his props, but, you know, people always like to bet into the narrative, myself included, did not end up working out, but I guess we'll see what he does next week.
Yeah, and I mean, besides the touchdown props, the second and third most popular props by handle, one was Hopkins over receptions, which was 5.5, and the other was Hopkins receiving yards, which went from 57.5 to, I think, 63.5. So both those easily went over, and that was 99% of the handle on both of those props. And the number one prop was a Juwan Johnson over receiving yards, and that closed in the mid-20s, and that cashed out too. So good game for Caesars Sportsbook bettors regarding the most popular props.
We love that. Y'all won some money. We won some money. We like to win a little bit more than you, but that's neither here nor there. Here's the big news, Max, the thing that I'm the most excited about. Christian McCaffrey is returning back to the Bay. McCaffrey was traded last night to the San Francisco 49ers from the Carolina Panthers, sending second, third, and fourth round picks in 2023 and a fifth round pick in 2024. Now, a lot of people are saying we gave up a lot of things for this, but we had some compensatory picks from McDaniels and from Sala going away. We're going to get more, because if you think that D'Amico Ryans is not going to get a head coaching job next year with the way that he's been coaching this defense, you're out of your mind. So I think we'll still get maybe a couple third rounders back. Plus, 49ers, very good at picking in the fifth round. You got Hufanga. You've got, what's his name? Kittle, my favorite. I'm sorry, Kittle. We got Kittle in the fifth round. So I'm not worried about the 49ers at all. But let's talk about these odds. Odds are for them to win the Super Bowl, plus 1,400. This is all on Caesars, plus 600 to win NFC, and now minus 110 to win the NFC. I believe this is the first time that the Niners are not plus money or at least even money to win the NFC. But talk to me about this odds shift with McCaffrey coming to the Niners.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely interesting to see a running back, you know, when you think running back, you think interchangeable, you know, that there isn't one running back that I guess has that much value compared to the rest. But McCaffrey, he's definitely a unique beast, and especially putting him in a Kyle Shanahan offense. I mean, he is the best receiving running back in the game. I still don't know how much he's, well, I guess the market has kind of told us how much he's worth in a single game so far.
True.
With the Panthers have gone from plus 11 to plus 13, which is a lot of respect against the Bucks. And then the 49ers, even though we're not sure about his workload, they've gone from plus 2.5 to plus 2 against the Chiefs. But yeah, futures wise, 18-1 to 14-1 for Super Bowl, 7-1 to 6-1 for NFC. I think the 49ers were an odds on favorite. I think potentially before the loss to the Falcons, but yeah, they went from plus 105 to minus 110, especially with how much the Rams have been struggling on offense. They're a pretty clear favorite to win the division. I'm really excited to see all these weapons in San Francisco. And I know that health-wise, you know, Trent Williams has been practicing, Nick Bosa has been practicing. The defense with all the injuries, it's nice to see some of those guys back, because I think that they're a top three defense when healthy. And like you said, D'Amico Ryans, he's done an incredible job. I think though, it always comes down to the quarterback and you know, it's Jimmy G once again. And I think he gives a really solid floor, but whether he can elevate the 49ers to their max ceiling on offense, that's the question we've been asking for years. And so I think that it's going to be the same time for this time around.
I agree with you, but I do think that this trade signals to me that the 49ers are all in on this season. And that also signals to me that they're all in on Jimmy Garoppolo. They know what they have this season. I think that our record doesn't necessarily reflect the talent that's on the field and what they know that they can be. I don't know that the 49ers make this trade if Trey Lance was still at center. I think it'd be not a rebuilding year because we'd still have all of the places, but just a building year for Lance. I don't know that they would go all in like they are right now. So I feel like, I don't know. I went and I raced to the book and I put in a ticket really fast for the Niners to win the NFC at this, because you got Christian McCaffrey, you got Debo Samuel, you got Brandon Ayuk, you got George Kittle, and you got Kyle Juszczyk. I'm sorry. Like, good luck to everyone trying to defend these guys. Plus, you got the Niners defense, who I still believe is the best in the league. Like you said, they're getting healthy again. We're getting Trent Williams back, I think, this week. Nick Bosa is going to be back, a couple more guys. So let's go ahead and push this into that game. Let's talk about the Chiefs and the Niners. Before even the McCaffrey, and we don't know that he's going to play. I think maybe I've read conflicting things that he's not going to be able to play this weekend. And then I've also read that maybe he'll have some red zone packages. But we saw this line shift. But even so, with the way that the Niners played last week, okay, they laid a serious egg. And, you know, the Chiefs coming off a bounce back for this week, or hopefully to get a bounce back, the fact that the line was still 3 was so interesting to me. And we didn't know what kind of health the Niners are going to have. And now that's shifted to 2. But talk to me about what's kind of happening with the movement here on this line and what you're leaning towards for this game.
Yeah, so we had this originally Chiefs as a 3-point road favorite, and we were getting a lot of sharp money on 49ers plus 3. And I think it was just mostly because of, you know, seeing the health reports. I mean, Trent Williams is one of the best offensive linemen in the game. Nick Bosa, you know, a defensive lineman who he makes a huge impact. And so just the fact that with the 49ers, when they lost to the Falcons, they were beat up and they were missing a lot of key guys. So I think, you know, closer to a full roster, I think that that's what's kind of what was driving the action. And then after the McCaffrey trade, it went from 49ers plus 2.5 to plus 2. And like you said, that move was kind of interesting to me, just because we don't know if McCaffrey will have a workload or how big the workload will be. But I just think, again, it's the 49ers and their roster getting healthier. Mahomes against elite competition, the Chiefs offense hasn't been as great this year versus, you know, mediocre or subpar competition. And so I think, you know, Chiefs offense versus 49ers defense is going to be a really interesting chess match. And then action-wise for the spread, I mean, Chiefs have gotten about 85% of the tickets, but it's actually the 49ers who've gotten about like 63% of the money. We've gotten, so we've gotten 2 6-figure bets on 49ers. We got another 55,001 on plus 3. 3 was definitely the key number. But yeah, this is a typical public versus sharps game. You know, like obviously people don't think that Patrick Mahomes is going to lose twice in a row.
Right.
But, you know, the line keeps coming down. I personally lean 49ers, and I did lean that way before the McCaffrey trade. I don't think McCaffrey will have an impact in this game, to be honest.
But, no, but, I don't either.
But it's just that I think the 49ers have the more complete roster. I really, and this is going to be a great, you know, coaching battle as well with Shanahan versus Andy Reid. But I just think the 49ers are the more complete team, so I'm glad to take the points at home.
You know, Max, I love to hear you say that. I really do. And I agree with you. I don't think that McCaffrey is going to have much of an impact on this game. However, I believe in momentum. I think the team is excited and it just brings a whole new energy. They now know, okay, Shanahan and Lynch are all in on this season. They believe in us. They think we can win right now. LFG, let's effing go. So I think that that's going on our side. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have a couple red zone packages for him. Obviously, he's not going to learn the Kyle Shanahan offense in like 2 days, but you could do a shovel pass to him. Or when, you know, if you're in the 5 yard, go ahead, give it to Caffrey. Let him get in there and, you know, excite him and excite the fans. So I agree with you. Let's go Niners. I'm also going to take them and the points. Moxie Betts is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, since we have Max here, we're going to do a little segment we like to call Book Smart, where we pick his brain on what's going on the inside with Caesars, where the money is, where the bets are, and of course, which way he is leaning. So we already talked about the 49ers. Got a little bit too excited. I jumped the gun there. But there's another interesting one. The Jets at the Broncos. The Jets are coming off a big win against the Green Bay Packers while the Broncos are still struggling here after an overtime loss against the LA Chargers last week. All right, so the Broncos were favored by one last night. Now the Jets are favored by one. Over under, I believe, is at 38. So the look ahead line before the season started, 7.5 favoring the Broncos. Obviously, the way the Broncos have looked this season, that has changed. But the fact that they were 1-point favorites last night and now the Jets are 1-point favorites, what are you seeing?
Yeah, so typically when it's around pick 'em, you know, Broncos going from -1 to Jets going to -1, it doesn't really make that big of a difference. Really, the key move, so earlier in the week, it was Jets +3.5. And whenever it crosses that key number of 3, that's the one, you know, where the alarm bell should be ringing. And, you know, Jets going from +3.5 to -1, obviously this is, you know, the market reacting to Russell Wilson, even though Wilson has definitely disappointed. But, you know, with the shoulder injury and now the hamstring injury, and if they have to go to their backup quarterback, Brett Rypien, that's the market, I think, you know, signaling that Wilson, I would have to guess, would not be playing if it's, you know, been that big of a shift. But I think, I don't know, I don't, especially with a beat up Russell Wilson like this, I don't necessarily see that big of a, you know, I guess, jump between Wilson and Rypien. And so I think it's definitely maybe a little bit of an overreaction by the market. And with the Jets, obviously the New York teams, the Jets and Giants, are the toast of the town. And Caesars, we operate in New York. We get a lot. We're getting a lot of Jets and Giants action so far this week for both spread and money line. Yeah, so Jets about like 69% of the tickets, but Broncos have gotten 79% of the money. So again, like this is, you know, public versus, I guess, more respected or sharper money. Even though, you know, Wilson is hurt, I really don't have a lot of faith in Zach Wilson, and the Jets have been able to do it. And the Jets have been able to do a nice job hiding him so far. But the Broncos, you know, everyone's talking about how disappointing they've been, and it's been the offense, but the defense has actually been fantastic. And, you know, the Jets were able to run all over the Packers last week. The Packers have one of the worst run defenses. And as good as Breece Hall has been, I don't know if he'll be able to have that same effect against the Broncos. And there, and if they have, and if the Jets have to rely on Zach Wilson, I don't necessarily know if they'll be able to get it done here, especially on the road in Mile High. So even with Nathaniel Hackett, who's been clearly the worst head coach in the league, I actually lean Broncos here. I think that this is too much of an overreaction. I just don't see the big difference between an injured Russell Wilson and Brett Rypien. I still think the Broncos have the better roster overall, even though the Jets have performed better than preseason expectations. But yeah, I'll take the Broncos at anywhere around pick'em to win this game outright.
I'll probably agree with you on that one, but I would maybe lean more towards the total. Like you said, both of these offenses have left a lot to be desired. I don't necessarily trust Zach Wilson either, but I have been very impressed with this Jets defense. I think a lot of that has to do with Robert Saleh. And like you said, the Broncos defense has been crazy. So I feel like this is going to be another like smash mouth, low scoring game. 38 does feel a little low. Where's the money or the tickets when it comes to the total?
Yeah. So we, the under's gotten over 90% of the money. So a lot of people feel the same way that you do there with the total and these two offenses.
And whenever there's 90% on one thing, I like to stay away from it though. So that's good to know. I lean under on this one, but I don't want to touch something where 90% of the money or picks is on it, because that always gets a little bit tricky. So let's keep things in New York. And the Giants are on the road against the Jaguars. Giants plus 140 on the money line. Jaguars minus 165. I can't believe how good the Jags are, you know, this year. Giants plus 3, over under 43. Giants are hot right now. What do you think of this?
Yeah. And I mean, it was just a few weeks ago where people were comparing the Jaguars to last year's Bengals as the, you know, perceived cellar dweller that could make a sneaky run to the Super Bowl. And then since then, you know, Jaguars played in that monsoon game against the Eagles. I kind of throw that game out just because of the weather. They really fell flat on their face against the Texans, and that was inexcusable. But last week against the Colts, they played the Colts really well and you know, were winning and covering for most of the game until the Colts' last second drive. I still like this Jaguars team. I think that this is a nice buy low spot. I like the turnaround that they've done under Doug Peterson, and Trevor Lawrence for the most part has looked solid, and they have a good defense. And with the Giants, you know, 5-1, and Brian Daboll is definitely, at least I think, the coach of the year front runner. But the past two games, they've beaten the Packers, they've beaten the Ravens, two very impressive wins on paper. They were down by double digits in both of those fourth quarters. And they and all of their games have been, like all five of their wins have been by one possession. So, you know, even though it's 5-1, it's a nice record on paper, they haven't exactly been convincing. So I like this as a buy low spot on the Jags and a sell high spot on the Giants. I'll take the points here with the Jags.
All right. I think I'm going to lay off this game, but I will, I'll take what you said into consideration. Now let's talk some college football. There's a couple games this weekend that bettors are looking at. So let's start with the Pac-12, the UCLA Bruins and the Oregon Ducks. Oregon favored minus 235 on the money line. Spread is 6, over under 71.5. I'm always tickled by the over unders for college. It's just so much. We're talking about 38, you know, for the Jets game, and all of a sudden we're at 71.5. But what are you seeing for this game?
Yeah, and this totals, it's the second highest total on the board. Whoever, it's North Texas, UTSA, that's I think like a half a point higher. But yeah, always seeing college totals in the 70s is interesting. And I actually still kind of like the over. So Oregon opened as a 4.5 point home favorite at Autzen, and now this line's gone up to 6.5. And the action on this game has been particularly interesting. So UCLA has gotten about 74% of the tickets, but Oregon's actually gotten most of the money at around like 55%. And this was the only college game where one team was getting over 70% of the tickets, but not the majority of the money out of all the college football games this week at Caesars. That definitely, you know, signals a lot. And Oregon, Bo Nix, so he's obviously the Auburn transfer quarterback. He's looked pretty good. And Bo Nix, even going back to his Auburn days, he's always been much better at home than on the road. And Oregon, you know, they got blasted against Georgia to start the season, but for the most part, outside of a wonky Washington State game that they probably should have lost, they've looked very, very solid. And then UCLA, they're coming off a bye. Oregon is too, but, you know, coming off the huge, the two huge home wins over Washington and Utah. But this is only UCLA's second road game of the season, and the other one was against Colorado, which is worst team in the Pac-12 and one of the worst in the country. So I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, UCLA in a hostile road environment.
Yeah.
For me, for the spread, this is a stay away. Yeah, and I guess the market already tells you what they're thinking between these two teams.
Yep.
The over's a little high. I lean the over. I wouldn't necessarily play it. But if I had to go in any direction, if I had to make a pick for any direction in this game, I would take the over. It's just two very explosive offenses, and I don't have faith in either defense.
I would agree with you on that one. Do you think that we're going to see some more line movement on this, considering how much money is being poured into one side? Is it one of those things where it's like, hey, if you like it, lock it in now because it could move, or you think it's going to stay right about here?
I would be surprised if this got to seven just because of how key of a number seven is. I would expect to get sharp action back then, or if it reaches seven. Maybe it dips down to six, but I don't really see much more line movement happening for this game.
All right, let's stay with the Pac-12 and get into the Washington Huskies and the California Golden Bears. Washington is favored -305, California +240 on the money line, 7.5-point spread, over under 55, 20 points less than the last game, give or take. What's your feeling on this one?
Yeah, so for those who don't know me, I'm a Pac-12 guy through and through, at least until USC moves to the Big Ten in a couple of years. So I love watching Pac-12 football. My Saturday nights, who needs the party? You know, you got Pac-12 Network, turn on the late game and have some fun. So Washington, Cal, Washington.
That is a party.
Yeah.
Max, that is a party.
Thank you, Katie. And yeah, so Washington 5-2, you know, first year head coach Kalen DeBoer, they've exceeded expectations, but I think that their 5-2 record, it's a little bit fraudulent just looking at the competition. You know, their five wins, like their best wins are what? Michigan State at home, Stanford at home. Like that doesn't really scream, you know, strong marquee win versus their two road games. They lost by 8 to UCLA, but that's a little bit of a misleading score. They were down by 24 in the fourth before, you know, activating garbage time mode. And then they went at Arizona State, and they were a 13.5-point road favorite, and they lost that game. Washington's defense is really, really rough. They won last game against Arizona, but it was 49-39. And so this defense just gives up a lot of points. So even going up against a pretty meek California offense, I think that Cal can still move the ball here. And I guess the key trend, at least for definitely my Pac-12 diehards, I think one of the things to know is Justin Wilcox, the Cal head coach, he's really bad as a favorite. And, you know, and you see that with Cal losing to Colorado last week, but he's been really good as an underdog. He covers about, I think it's like 35% of his games as a favorite, but it's like 75% as an underdog. And it's in the 80s when he's getting 7 or more points. And so, he's a defensive mind. Washington has an explosive offense, but I think if Cal's defense, you know, can limit them to like, I don't know, high 20s, low 30s, I just don't trust Washington's defense at all. And so I think them laying 7.5 points, you know, given that they really haven't beaten anyone that good so far, I think that that's a lot of respect for Washington. And you're kind of getting a little bit of a buy low with Cal just because, you know, people are seeing that they lost to Colorado on the road last week.
Overreaction.
Weekend. Yeah, a little bit of an overreaction for sure. So I love getting the hook here and getting a home dog, especially a Pac-12 home dog. You just never know with this conference, you know, what's up and what's down. So I'm taking Cal +7.5 here Saturday night.
I love that. I'm going to ride with you on that one. How do you feel about buying points? I know in football, I believe in buying points in football, buying a hook or something here and there. I don't really do it for basketball. But in a situation like this, obviously you're getting the hook over the 7.5, but how do you feel about buying points?
I don't buy points just because I think it's already really hard to be profitable as a bettor with just, you know, -110 juice pregame. So, you know, even, you know, I guess like if you're buying to like 3 or 3.5, just these key numbers, I mean, there's still a lot that can happen, and it's really rare for, you know, a number to like fall like exactly there. But the fact that you're paying up more, it's just I don't think it's the right move necessarily, just because Like I said, you know, it's already tough to beat minus 110. And even though you're getting a more favorable number, if you're paying minus 120, minus 125, it's just, it's not as advantageous. And also now with live betting, you know, all it takes is just, you know, one early, you know, touchdown for the opposite team. And you're pretty much and granted, live line is still minus 115, but you might be getting an even better line. And it's still cheaper than buying, buying a half a point or something along those lines.
All right. Well, let's move down to the Big 12. We've got Kansas State and TCU, both pretty surprising this year. TCU has been undefeated so far this season and hosting the Kansas State Wildcats this weekend. Moneyline Kansas State plus 143, TCU the favorite, minus 170, over under 54, spread 3.5. What are you seeing? Where are you seeing bettors placing their money on this one?
Yeah, so TCU, you know, coming off the big double overtime win over Oklahoma State. And like you said, they've been a great story. What Sonny Dykes has done in the first year at TCU has been really impressive. So TCU opened minus 6, now down to minus 3.5. Kansas State, I like this Kansas State team. Adrian Martinez at quarterback, Deuce Vaughn at running back. They can run the ball. And TCU, they have a very explosive offense, but their defense, they can't really stop too much. I mean, like we saw it against Kansas, we saw it against Oklahoma State. It's just that the offense has been able, you know, to put up otherworldly performances and just outscore other teams. Action-wise, it's actually been mostly Kansas State, which I find interesting, about like 65% of the tickets, 74% of the handle. So the fact that, I guess not a big surprise that Kansas State has gotten majority of the money, just given the way that the line has moved, but that they've gotten the majority of the tickets. I think that this game, it's a coin flip for me. I'll still take Kansas State 3.5. I mean, TCU is just rolling off all these impressive performances, but this is still a team with a preseason win total of 7. So like, it's basically waiting for the other shoe to fall.
Other shoe to drop. Yeah.
And you know, how long they can keep up this streak for. And Kansas State, very well coached. They can run the ball, and I think TCU is going to have a really hard time stopping the Wildcats ground game. So I'll take the 3.5 here.
Yeah, it's like these Cinderella stories that you think at some point they're going to run out. So I will agree with you on that one. Let's finally move down to the SEC between Ole Miss and LSU. LSU favored minus 135, spread 2.5, over under 66.5. This is interesting because between these two SEC West teams, what have you been seeing with bettors?
Yeah, so it's always very, you know, I guess juicy, for lack of a better term, to see a top 10 team as an underdog to an unranked team. And we actually opened this Ole Miss minus 2.5, and it swung the other way. It reached as high as LSU minus 3, but we took a six-figure bet on Ole Miss plus 3. So that, I guess that's it. That signals to us that, you know, that the line moved too far. Now it's around 2.5, so I don't think it'll get back to 3. But yeah, Ole Miss, about like 62% of the tickets. They've gotten about like 54% of the handle. A lot of it's been, you know, boosted by that six-figure bet. But there's been a lot of sharp action on LSU, which is why you've seen the line shift this much. And even though it's around pick'em, but the fact that it even reached to LSU minus 3 and completely swung the other way, it kind of tells you what the respected money thinks about these two teams. And with Ole Miss, again, another team that doesn't really have a marquee win. Like their best win is against the Kentucky team that I think was, they were really injured that game and were without Will Levis. Versus LSU, like they got, you know, trampled by Tennessee, but outside of, I guess, Alabama, who really hasn't this year? But they have a nice win over Mississippi State at home. They just handled Florida last weekend. So Brian Kelly, like he's doing a pretty nice job in year one. And LSU has a lot of talent. Like you can probably argue more talent than Ole Miss.
Than Ole Miss.
Yeah, and I think that's why the line has shifted in this direction, and why a lot of the sharp action has been on the Tigers.
All right, Max, thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you guys follow him at Twitter at TheMaxMeyer for all of the latest. He'll tell you where the money is. He'll tell you where the popular bets are. He even shares splits with you. Anything else you want to tell the people on where to find you?
Yeah, and also definitely follow Caesar Sportsbook on Twitter at Caesar Sports. And really excited for this weekend. Even though I'm a USC guy, I'll be rooting for the rival Cal Golden Bears on Saturday. It's nice though, USC has a bye this weekend, so I don't have to sweat it out too much, at least for my team. But yeah, no, best of luck to everyone with their bets this weekend. And
yes, and go Niners.
Exactly.
All right, the time has come for Mock's Locks. It's just me today, but you already know. My first lock is going to be the Niners +2. That's at minus 110 on Caesars. According to practice reports, looks like the Niners are getting back Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Hufanga. They're all coming back. There's a chance that Christian McCaffrey gets some red zone packages. I think it's just going to be fun and exciting to see. And Kenny told you on Wednesday, Jimmy Garoppolo, 14-6 straight up and 16-4 against the spread as an underdog in his career. That is the best winning percentage by any quarterback as an underdog in the Super Bowl era, including the playoffs. So give me the Niners +2. My next lock, I'm doing another underdog here. I'm taking the Commanders. I know it's a little scary. I'm taking Commanders +4.5 versus the Packers. The Packers offense has looked bad. I mean, really, really bad. They're averaging 17.8 points per game. That is the lowest during any six-game stretch with Aaron Rodgers as a starter. Green Bay just has 2 against the spread wins in their last 8 games. Overall, they're also 1-4 against the spread on the road. There's no Randall Cobb. He's out 2 to 4 weeks with an ankle sprain. And the Packers have failed to cover in 3 straight games as favorites this year. We got Heinicke coming back. All right. So that's, I think it's actually positive. I think it's positive. He went 7-8 last year as the quarterback for the Commanders, and he threw for 20 touchdowns and also 15 interceptions. So you might want to look at an interception prop for Heinicke. But I'm taking the Commanders as dogs +4.5. Those are my Mock's Locks. This has been Moxie Betts, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Moxie Betts, and we'll see you Monday.